Isn't that a wonderful thing when we think about how God invites us to come just as we are? We don't have to have everything right. We don't have to clean ourselves up. We don't have to do something in order for us to be worthy to come into the presence of God. He invites us to come just as we are. No matter what may be going on in our life, if there's hurt, there's brokenness, He says, come. Even if we haven't come to Him before to ask Him to forgive us, He says, come. Because in those moments, you know what He does? He gives us the power to overcome our hurt, our brokenness, and our sin. Amen? And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. God's power in 2020. God's power in 2020. If you'll turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we're going to spend our time there, but not just there, but in several passages of Scripture, as you see in your notes. I want you to understand something about the power of God. It's available to us, isn't it? One of the things that was actually a part of our theme for this D Now winter camp that Eric and I had the privilege of being a part of, we actually called the weekend surge, that surge of power that comes into our lives from God, because He is the power source this morning, is He not? Amen? He's not a battery like the Energizer Bunny that, you know, has on the back and He just keeps going and keeps going. But God does keep going, doesn't He? And He helps us to keep going because He's the ultimate power source. But the verse that we had chosen for the weekend was Colossians 1:29. Paul says, I labor for this, striving with His strength that works powerfully in me. I want to encourage you this morning that God can give you the strength to overcome. God can give you the strength that you need, at your very point of need, to help you. Maybe 2019 wasn't that great for you. I don't know. I don't know where you're at. But let me tell you, God's power in 2020 can help you overcome that. And that power gives us hope. That power makes the future bright, not because of what we can do, but what God can do in us and through us. If only we would allow Him. If only we would allow Him. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I want to, upcoming messages this morning, tonight, and then next Sunday morning, I want to preach a series of sermons from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Tonight we'll be looking at God's promises in 2020, and then next Sunday we'll look at our fruitfulness in 2020. I think it's good, as I talked about earlier, looking at new beginnings and new commitments that people make, whatever they might be, to some good. Most of them are good, and we have good intentions to hold to them. And I pray that if you've made some commitments, some what we call resolutions, correct? I pray that God gives you the ability to hold to them, especially if they are those that which honor and glorify Him. We're to honor and glorify Him in our bodies, are we not? Because we are bought with a price. May God give you the power to achieve the things that you hope, but not only that, but to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond what you think or imagine. According to the power that is... have you noticed the thing this morning? I hope that when you walk through this place, that word, power, is on your mind. And not just your power, but God's power, because it's available to you. Are you with me? This may be a little intense this morning. My heart is full. Is that okay? Is everybody ready? That doesn't necessarily mean I will go for a long period of time. It may be really intense for a short period of time. Amen? All right. As long as you listen fast, right? Amen. All right. If you'll stand, if you're willing and able, you just have one verse of Scripture this morning. It's on the screen. I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible this morning, and you can follow along in your copy of God's Word. The Apostle Peter says, His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Father in heaven, we thank You for the power that is available to us. The power that comes through knowing You. God, we're thankful that it's not about our ability, because we confess that we're flawed human beings and we make mistakes. We fail often, Father. But we're so thankful that even in those moments we come to You. Father, You give us the power to overcome those failures and those mistakes, and You make something beautiful out of the messes that we make. Father, I pray we would have a greater understanding of the power that is available to us through Your Son Jesus. And I pray this morning that if there's someone here that has never experienced the power of God, God, would they allow it to change them? Change us all, Father, for Your honor and Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Power of God. We sing hymns. We mentioned it earlier during the prayer time. There's power in the blood. Wonder-working power. In the blood of the Lamb? Yes, in the blood of the Lamb. There's power. I don't know about you, but when I was younger, and this may be somewhat irreverent. I don't. Sometimes I wonder about how irreverent I can be, and some of you may question that. When we were singing that song, I don't know if anybody else did this, and I may be the only one. This is confession time. When we would sing that chorus, there was power, power, wonder-working power. I would go, there is power, 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 power. I would try to get as many powers as I could in that moment. Anybody else? I'm the only one? Okay, there's a few. All right. I'm not the only one. Dad raised his hand, so you know where I get it from. I come by it honestly. And if Dad did it, it's not irreverent. Amen. I love those hymns that talk about the power of God. And even this morning, did you hear some of the words that we were singing about the power? Who has the power to raise the dead? Oh my goodness, God does. You know why I know that's true? Because before I met Jesus, I was a dead man walking. And when I gave my heart to Him, His power infused my life and made me alive. And it continues to change. It continues to work in my life. I'm getting ahead of myself. It's part of the sermon this morning, but I'm a little excited. All right. Let's look at the main idea this morning. You want to fill in blanks, right? It's a new year, but the same old, and our fill in the blanks. God's power gives us the potential we need to live for Him. It gives us the potential we need to live for Him. I think if you look at the witness of God's Word, He desires to give us the power to live for Him. Even early on in the Old Testament, when you look at the great patriarchs, the matriarchs of old, God wanted to give them the ability to live for Him. And the same is true today. He wants to infuse our lives with His divine power. So the big question this morning is, have you experienced the power of God in your life? Have you experienced this life-transforming, changing power of God? I think from This one verse, God says so much. It's so packed, full of wonderful truth for us this morning. And I have four things that I want to share with you this morning from this verse. First of all, God's power provides life. I've already talked about that a little bit in my life when I experienced the power of God for the very first time in an incredible way is when I knelt beside, and you've heard my story before, but I'll share it again because I like sharing it. Because it changed my life forever. So why wouldn't I change it or share it, right? I knelt beside my mom and dad's bed. Dad was there with me, and he led me in praying to God for for the very first time to ask God, I ask God to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I ask God to become Savior, to become Lord of my life. And in that moment, the power of God made me alive, as I said earlier. And I want to tell you, the power of God does something tremendous. It helps you to experience things you've never felt before. And in that moment, the peace of God that infused in my life, because I was made right with God. Isn't that what the Scripture tells me? And when I place my faith in Jesus Christ, because of what He did on the cross for me and for my sins, and not only my sins, but the sins of all mankind, I can have peace with God. Because now I believe that I am reconciled with God. I've been justified in His name. Peace of God that came over my life. And you've heard me tell this story, but I walked out of their bedroom and I looked down the hallway and I saw Mom in her favorite rocking chair. And the peace of God overwhelmed me in such a way that I felt like I just flew to her, because I wanted to tell her the news about the power of God that had just changed my life forever. I'm pacing a little bit. I'm going back and forth. Is it like a tennis match right now, or maybe a ping pong game? All right, I'll slow down. Thank you for nodding. You can be honest with me this morning. God's power provides life. Romans 1:16. I don't have the scripture on the screen, but you can turn to these if you would like. You can wait till later. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek." Many of you this morning have experienced the power of God. You've had that moment just like I have. I had when I was almost 8 years old, where you asked God to forgive you, you repented of your sins, and He came into your life, and that power changed you. So you know what I'm talking about. But there may be somebody here this morning that you've never experienced the power of God. I want to encourage you. It's very simple. For here, it says to everyone who believes. What are we believing? We're believing that Jesus is God's Son. We're believing that He came and lived a perfect life, that He died and He was buried and that He rose again on the third day, triumphant over death and sin. He took upon Him the sins of all mankind. He took upon Him the my sins and your sins so that we might be saved. So that we might not be controlled by the power of sin any longer, but we can now be controlled by the power of God, which leads to life. Paul talks about it this way in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you previously lived, according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air." Do you notice that? There was a power at work in our lives before we met Christ. And let me tell you, there's a power at work even afterwards, isn't it? We'll talk about that here in just a moment. "According to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also." So our predicament, if you will, before we met Christ, is that we were opposed to God, and the wrath of God was upon our lives. But what Scripture tells me this morning is that it can change. Because in verse 4 he says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love that He had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace." I don't know about you, but in my copy of God's Word, when it says you are saved by grace, there is an exclamation point. I don't know about yours. Is there? So I should say that more excitedly, shouldn't I? You are saved by grace. I think that's what Paul's become. I don't know if you've ever noticed this about Paul and his writings, but he gets excited. Have you ever noticed that? In fact, there are times in his writings that he breaks out into hymns. Truly, he breaks out into song, because he gets excited about what God is doing, not only in his life, but in the lives of the believers, his spiritual children. You're saved by grace. He also raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might display the immeasurable riches of His grace through His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. That was 1 through 7, and you know 8 and 9. For by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. A couple of passages of Scripture that I didn't include in your notes. Romans 5, 15 through 17, Paul says this, "But the gift is not like the trespass. For if by the one man's trespass the many died, how much more have the grace of God and the gift which comes through the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflowed to the many? And the gift is not like the one man's sin." He's referring to Adam there. I don't know if you realize that or not. "Because from one sin came the judgment, resulting in condemnation. But from many trespasses came the gift, resulting in justification. Since by the one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive the overflow of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life?" God's power provides life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans 6, 4, look over there. "Therefore, if we were buried with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life." God's power provides life. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, I mean, you have to understand this. It was a pointing to about what He was going to do in the near future for those who believe on Him in their spiritual lives. He went to that tomb and He called out, "Lazarus, come forth." And let me tell you something. When I was almost yet 8 years old, and I knelt beside my mom and dad's bed, and I began to pray, God was saying, "Jonathan, come forth." You understand that this morning? And that same power that raised Lazarus from the dead, that same power that raised Jesus Christ Himself from the dead, is now inside of me, and I walk in newness of life. God's power provides life this morning. But not only that, but God's power produces godliness. Look at what He says there in 2 Peter 1, 3. He says, His divine power has given us everything. I haven't even talked about that. Everything. What's included in that everything? And your answer is everything, right? It's pretty simple. But how often do we forget that? Let me tell you something this morning. We have what we need to live godly lives. This is the Holy Spirit inside of us. As we become increasingly controlled by the Holy Spirit, the power of God will be on display. Listen to what He says, everything required for life and godliness. The wonderful thing is, God doesn't just save us, but He begins His work of what we call sanctification. It's a big, wonderful theological word that simply means He's making us look more like Jesus. God's power continues to work in our lives. Not at that point to take away our sins, which it does, but it continues to work in our lives in such a way that I stop looking so much like Jonathan, I start looking like Jesus Christ. That's God's goal. That's the goal of His power being infused in my life through the Holy Spirit, is to make me look like Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it is the power of God to us who are being saved," that are continually being saved. That work of salvation at the beginning, we are saved from our sins, and then we are continually saved from this world and our fleshly desires. That's what God wants to do with His power in our lives, to give us the ability to overcome. Paul says it like this in Romans, 8:37? "For we are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ," right? That's what we're talking about. We are more than overcomers, some translations say. Philippians 2, verses 12 through 13. Therefore, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So there's this idea of this continually working it out. What God has started in our hearts, continually to work it out in our lives. But remember this, Paul goes on to say, for it is God who is working in you, both to will and to work according to His good purpose. We need to allow the power of God to work mightily in us so that it can produce godliness. I have a couple other passages of Scripture that I added to this after I gave Linda my notes. Romans chapter 6. We were there earlier in verse 4. Look in verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with Him. God's power provides life. Because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. Death no longer rules over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all time. But the life He lives to God. So you too, listen to what he says. So you too consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its desires. See, this is what the power of God does in our life. If we allow it, its work. It's so that we do not obey its desires. We have this inclination to be disobedient to God. I don't know if you know that or not. Hopefully, for those of us who have walked with God for an extended period of time, for years, that disobedience that we once had in the beginning, it is no longer there. Does that make sense? We're progressively being saved from our disobedience and our fleshly desires. He goes on to say, do not offer any parts of it to sin, your body, as weapons for unrighteousness, but as those who are alive from the dead, offer yourselves to God and all the parts of yourselves to God as weapons for righteousness. I love that language there. Because when you think about a weapon, what do you think about? You think about power, don't you? Just as we were before Christ, our lives were bent as weapons toward unrighteousness. We were living our lives in such a way that the power of sin had progressive control of our life. Now that we are in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves to God so that they're progressively under His power as weapons of righteousness. Okay, did I tell you my heart's full? This is some rich stuff. Are you excited? I don't know. You may not be as I am. But listen to verse 14. For sin will not rule over you, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Alram, we sang songs about the grace of God today. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It provided life. And then that song doesn't end there. Did you notice the progression in that song? It not only helps us be saved, but it also helps us to continually be saved from the things of this world. No matter what may come, God gives us the power to overcome and the power to live lives in a way that we're on display to the world. Not of what we're doing, but what God is doing. We'll talk about that just a little bit more in a moment. So His power provides life and it produces godliness. Now look at this. Life and godliness proceed from knowing Him. Is that not what the Scripture tells us there in 2 Peter 1? It says, His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us. It comes by knowing God. If I had never heard the gospel, I would not have known that my life was controlled by the power of sin, and I would not have known that it could be controlled by the power of God. Does that make sense? But the wonderful news is that I had a father and a mother and a church family who cared about my soul. And they told me about God. They told me how I could know Him. And because of that, I said yes to His offer. That wonderful gift that we already talked about. And from knowing Him and knowing what He did for me through His Son Jesus, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. That truth gripped my heart. And knowing that truth brought life. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, "If you continue in My word, you really are My disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." I hope you understand this morning what freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, not to be controlled by the power of sin any longer, but to allow our lives to be compelled by the power of God. John 14, "You know the way to where I am going," Jesus said. "Lord," Thomas said, "we don't know where You are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." Life and godliness comes from knowing Him. "This is eternal life," Jesus said in John 17:3, "that they may know You, the only true God, and the one You have sent, Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul says it like this: "More than that, I consider everything to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Because of Him, I have considered the loss of all things and consider them as dung so that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith." Paul says, "My goal is to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. Not that I have already reached the goal or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I have also been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ is the goal. Knowing Him is the goal. And when we know Him, that life and godliness come, right? I've got more verses there, don't I? Did y'all see? Y'all still listening? Y'all still with me? All right. Ephesians. Now, I want these next two are wonderful prayers that Paul prays for the Christians. And it would be wonderful prayers that we should pray for one another. Ephesians 1, 15 through 19. He says, this is why, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the saints, I never stop giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what is the wealth of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His, what? Power toward us who believe, according to the mighty working of His strength. Those are things that we need to be praying for one another, that we would know these things, that we would know what the power of God looks like in our lives, that we would know His strength. Paul goes on to say in Colossians 1, 9 through 12, "For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Sounds very similar, doesn't it? "So that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light." Are you hearing it this morning? The power of God that can be at work in you. This life in godliness they perceive from knowing Him. So let me challenge you. Here in 2020, your goal should be like Paul's goal, to know Jesus Christ. To take steps toward Him. And not just filling our heads with a bunch of knowledge, of information, but filling our lives with the intimacy of knowing a wonderful Savior who loves you beyond anything you can imagine. So life and godliness proceed from knowing Him. And then lastly, life and godliness proclaim God's glory and goodness. Try to make it easy this morning, Jerry. P words, right? Life and godliness proclaim God's glory. It says here, His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. What that tells me, it's not about me. It's about the goodness and the glory of God on display in my life. Matthew 5:16 says this, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. John 15:8 says, my Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Paul talks about the glory of God on display in our lives like this in 2 Corinthians Chapter 3, verse 18, we all with unveiled faces are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is the Spirit. It comes from God. Godliness, life, comes from Him and the power of God at work in your life. And that power of God, if it's at work in your life, then His glory and His goodness couldn't help be on display. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15 says, indeed, everything is for your benefit, so that as grace extends more through more and more people, it may cause thanksgiving to increase to the glory of God. Now, the reason why I included that verse there is because we need to allow God's power to be on display in our lives, so that life and godliness can be on display, so people around us can see that, and so that their lives too may be changed by the power of God. And I hope you see that. I hope you understand that when God's glory and His goodness is on display in your life, people will ask questions. Why are you like that? Why are you so joyful? Why do you smile so much? One of my favorite Christmas movies is Elf. The store manager, you may know this. Why are you smiling? You remember that? Smiling's my favorite. That makes me laugh every time. Smiling's my favorite. That smile. When we go around in the world today, there are not a lot of smiles in the world. We look at what's happening. And when you smile, it is such a rare thing these days. People wonder, why are you smiling? Are you crazy? No, I'm not crazy. But I'm a fool for Jesus. Right? Isn't that what Paul said? I'll be a fool for you, Jesus. I quoted this verse. I paraphrased it. Ephesians 3:20-21, now to Him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. 1 Peter 4:10-11, just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength God provides, so that what? God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To Him be the glory and the power forever. Amen. J.I. Packer says this, "Our high and privileged calling is to do the will of God in the power of God for the glory of God." Let me repeat that. Our high and privileged calling is to do the will of God in the power of God for the glory of God. So in 2020, do the will of God by the power of God for the glory of God. Why do we need this power? This is it. This is my last verse. This is not in your notes. The Word of God has power, doesn't it? Amen. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, I've been looking at Facebook and some of the posts, Al Ray. People have been asking, what's your word for this year, for 2020? Anybody see those seen those posts on Facebook? Any, I don't know. Maybe you've posted your word. Or maybe some folks want a verse that kind of guides them in 2020. And I think for me, my word this year is going to be triumph. Triumph. But thanks be to God who always leads us in Christ's triumphal procession and through us spreads the aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. I'm going to come down here. So I want you to hear something. The power of God infuses our life in such a way that He always leads us in triumphal procession. He leads us through people in this world so that they might see God's glory and His goodness. I'm going to walk around the building. Is that okay? Always leads us in triumphal procession. Always leads. Everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. Life and godliness is on display in our lives because the power of God is at work in us. Just think about that. Think about the possibilities. Think about those individuals you come in contact with because Christ is leading you in triumphal procession in this world. Always leads us in triumphal procession. That's why my word this year is triumph. I want to walk in triumph. I want to run in triumph. And there's nothing that's going to prevent me from permeating the aroma of God in the presence of the people around me. Amen? Because no weapon formed against us shall prosper. That's what the Word of God says. Let's start claiming the promises of God and let's start walking in triumphal procession with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then I will tell you something. 2020 will be different. I'm ready. You know, we've been praying for revival for years, haven't we? Let's continue to pray. But let's also continue to prepare ourselves and be expectant. Because He always leads us in triumphal procession. What about you this morning? Have you experienced the power of God in your life? Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, Jonathan, you've been talking about power. You've been excited. You've been almost screaming at us this morning. You walked around the building like a madman. And I have never experienced anything like that. I'm different, okay? Amen? I express things differently, and I understand that. But let me tell you something. That same power that raised me from the dead when I was almost 8 years old can raise you from the dead today. Why don't you begin 2020 by experiencing the power of God? Why don't you say yes to the gift that He gives to you in Jesus Christ? Believe. It's simple. Believe. Maybe you're here this morning and something's got a hold of you. Maybe there's a hurt that you just can't seem to let go. Maybe you need to forgive. And you just can't seem to be able to do that. I want to tell you something. The power of God can help you let go of that hurt. The power of God can help you forgive. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, Jonathan, I hear what you're saying, and you talk about permeating the presence of people with the aroma of God. And I really struggle with sharing my faith. The power of God can work you in you in such a way that the words will come out of your mouth because there's an overflow of the grace of God that's in you. Ask Him because He has given us everything required for life and godliness in Christ Jesus, right? His divine power, whatever it is that you're struggling with this morning, give it to Him and say, God, I need Your power at work in my life. Send it. And may I walk in triumphal procession. Wherever you find yourself this morning, why don't you ask the Father for His power? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes as Carrie and Kathy come to play for us this morning. Alra, if you'll go ahead and come. My heart was full this morning. And it's only because of the overflow of the grace of God. And I hope this morning that maybe God has spoken to you, maybe through some of my ramblings. If you're struggling this morning, would you just go to the Father and ask Him for the power to overcome? Maybe this morning you need to come to this altar. Say, God, give me the strength to overcome that hurt. Give me the strength to forgive that person. Give me the strength to share my faith. Whatever it might be, would you just simply ask God for His power? Maybe you're here this morning. You've never experienced the power of God. You would say, Jonathan, I want to. Would you just come forward? I would like to share with you a little further. Believe and allow the power of God to work in your life. Father, this morning, as we have examined Your Word, as we've heard from You, I pray that there is someone here who's never experienced the power of God. I pray that they would believe that it can be at work in them, and it can raise them from death to life. And if that's you this morning, you can simply pray. Let God know. Let Him know. Say, God, I'm a sinner. I've never experienced Your power in my life, but I want it. I believe that Jesus came and died for me. I believe that He rose from the dead. I repent for my sins. Forgive me and save me. Thank You for saving me by Your power. If that's you this morning, and you said that prayer or something like it, would you just come forward so that I might rejoice with you?